Well, we're back, and for the second hour, and got a guest today. Glad you could join us, Richard Gage of the Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth. Are you there, Richard?
Hello. How are you doing, Ralph?
Well, at my age of 69, I'm alive and well and still above ground and out of jail, so those are always good things.
I'll say. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, so am I. I see you've been on a kind of a whirlwind tour across America. You've been about every day or two. You've been somewhere, I guess, giving presentations. How many have you given here in the last month or so? Hello?
Ralph, I apologize. Are you there?
Yeah, okay. Did you hear me?
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. I had a technical malfunction there.
Okay, I've said you've been on a tour across America giving a lot of presentations about, what, every 1 or 2 days. How many have you given here in the last month or so?
Oh, about 12 or 15 or so. We had a Midwest tour, 10 stops in throughout the Midwest. We're going to Atlanta in 2 weeks and then throughout Europe in 10 cities in June.
Well, there's a lot of questions that we didn't get answered last time. I'd like to address, too. I see you have something on your homepage. But before we get to that, we had left the issue that in your presentations you keep calling for a new investigation. Is that? Oops, I guess I hear the music. I guess we'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit freetoprosper.com right now.
Well, we're back from break here, and we have Richard Gage of A&E Engineers. And let me start off here a couple of things that we left kind of unfinished that I got a lot of emails on. You've been calling it all. I've watched some of the videos and stuff. You keep calling for a new investigation. And I'm trying to, maybe you could enlighten us here what the goal is. But first of all, as you're a 501c3, the group cannot petition Congress or get involved. You haven't filed a QTAM litigation suit. I don't know if you have any plans to. You didn't address these issues in the NIST reports for request for corrections. So what is the goal that you would go toward for a new investigation if your organization can't be involved and you're not going to file a lawsuit?
Well, first of all, let me introduce myself. I'm an architect of 23 years. I've worked on many different types of projects, including most recently a $400 million project with 1,200 tons of steel framing. 4 years ago, I became aware from David Ray Griffin that 9/11 is not what we thought it was. There is plenty of evidence for the explosive demolition of all three World Trade Center high-rises. I have spent the last 4 years, along with about 20 to 40 volunteers and 1,500 petition signers who are architects and engineers, either licensed and or degreed, and 12,000 others. And we've been dedicated to presenting this evidence to the American people. We're dedicated to waking them up to the evidence found at the crime scene and in the eyewitness testimony. That evidence includes the very explosive destruction of the World Trade Center towers, including a whole host of evidence for that, which includes lateral ejection of steel and 1,200-foot radius, a lack of floors found, 110 floors found at the bottom of either tower, the numerous explosions occurring below the destruction zone up to 60 stories below, blowing debris out the sides, and the descent of the top portion of each of these towers at almost freefall acceleration, such that each tower is destroyed in 12 seconds. And then we find in the World Trade Center, an international team of scientists finds evidence of nanothermite composite materials in all the World Trade Center dust samples that are extremely sophisticated. Made only in the most sophisticated Defense Department contracting laboratories, that evidence being documented in a peer-reviewed paper and unchallenged as of today. We also have the destruction. I'm almost done. We have the destruction of World Trade Center 7 at freefall acceleration, as acknowledged by NIST, with the documentation by FEMA and by others of melted steel. In the case of the first responders, pools of molten iron found flowing like lava, they described. And then the questioning of the freefall collapse of World Trade Center 7 by the 60 structural engineers that go into some detail. Go ahead, Ralph.
Okay, well, let's get back to the initial question here. You're calling for a new investigation. You can't, your group, that you're associated with, cannot, because it's a 501c, cannot get involved openly petitioning Congress. You've not filed.
That's not true, by the way.
A 501c3 can petition Congress?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you sure can.
Really?
And we're doing that, and that's exactly what we're doing. There's certain legislative efforts, and we can't back particular candidates and so forth. what we are calling for is a new investigation. That's very clear and open on our website.
Okay, where's the evidence that you're petitioning Congress now? Because I don't see it on your website.
It's on our website. The actual petition is right there, right front and center. You can't miss it if you actually take the time to look at it.
Okay, so you're telling me that this group, your group, is petitioning Congress for a new investigation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Under a 501c3?
That's correct.
Well, I've got to check that out. My next question, then, do you have any, are you going to file a QI-TAM case on the...
I don't even know what a QI-TAM case is.
It's a whistleblower case.
Well, okay, I don't know about that. I'm not an attorney. I'm an architect. What we're doing is educating the public, other architects, and the Congress about the evidence that I had to just breeze through because you don't want to talk about it on this radio program.
Well, we're going to get to the evidence here. Well, I'm trying to get the bottom line is you're petitioning Congress, and I have not seen the evidence of that. You're not going to file a QI-TAM case or a quiet title action. My next question is...
I'm not an attorney, Ralph.
Well, you had an attorney file your NIST report. They did that for you because you're a 501c3. You have to have an attorney.
Well, we filed a request for correction to NIST because their report is so fraudulent that doesn't require an attorney, but it's simply a filing a standard form.
Did you file in for the NIST report? Did you file in your theory of thermite or nanothermite and or molten metal?
At the time, we didn't know about nanothermite. That discovery had not been made yet. There was the discovery and the theory of thermite. Back then, there was the decision made by somebody. I was only peripherally involved in the filing of this request for correction. But I don't know what the reason was that thermite wasn't included in that. What do you make of that, Ralph? What is the problem?
Okay, well, the thing is if there was molten metal or thing, why is it not filed into the public record for your petition?
You mean in the RFC?
Yes, in the RFC.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that question. The gentleman who coordinated that is... what's his name? He's an engineer, and he happens to be an attorney. I'll remember his name in a moment. But I don't know what criteria he went through to discern which evidence he would include or not include in the RFC.
Okay, well, I guess let's go try to get as many of these. You said that there was a peer-reviewed paper that you're relying upon?
Well, there are many peer-reviewed papers. One of them is the paper on nanothermite, which documents these small red-gray chips, the red side composed of particles of iron oxide and aluminum powder that are 1,000 times smaller than the human hair, intimately mixed in the perfect percentage to become aluminothermic or thermite. But it can be engineered to be very explosive.
Let me stop you right there because all the evidence is there's no evidence that thermite is an explosive. It might explode, but there's nothing out there that says it is an explosive, ever.
What I said is that it can be engineered to be explosive, and that's well documented in the Lawrence Livermore Laboratory literature on the subject that was published prior to 9/11.
Well, the reference that I saw in your NIST report went back to a reference to using it as an arson-type situation, the tracking of the nanothermite. Well, let's get on to some real... I've watched your video. You always say that Building 7 gives the appearance of a controlled demolition.
Now, well, it has all the evidence of a controlled demolition, including...
Okay, so the first evidence would be... where would we look to see the, you know, if we have a controlled demolition, there's all kinds of seismic recorders that would have recorded the 230,000 tons that came down. And the seismic recorders for Building 7 didn't record anything. And the
I don't think that's true. First of all, it didn't not record anything. I've heard that it did record something. So what you're saying is, first of all, untrue. Second of all, what do seismic recorders record when there is a standard controlled demolition? Because it should be the same. And my guess is that it is. Now, these buildings come down in a soft fashion because one floor is destroyed before the next floor comes onto it. It's not like a tree or a building falling over and hitting the ground all at once. It's as if there's just one floor, then another, so that may or may not make a significant, and probably wouldn't, I'm guessing, make a significant seismic response. But have you done or seen a study that shows what the seismic response for a standard controlled demolition is?
Are you telling me that 230,000 tons that comes down and doesn't go thud when it hits the earth? And by the way, that's in page...
Hold on, I just explained this to you very carefully, Ralph. I told you it doesn't come down like a tree falling over and go thud. It's coming down one floor at a time, and that floor structure has been destroyed before it hits the ground. So it's not a thud. And it's not 230,000 tons. It's 40,000 tons of steel, and it's divided up by 47 stories. So it's 1,000 tons at a time, sequentially, a few fractions of a second, then the other, then the other, then the other. So it is laid out over time in a soft fashion. Then I
awesome.
Asked you the question. Then I asked you the question: what happens for the seismic signal for a standard controlled demolition? And you rode right over that question without even answering.
No, because I'm trying to get back to on point of the fact of all these seismic recorders. You made a statement that the seismic recorders don't show that in page 87 of Dr. Judy Wood's book. We got all of these different, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seismic recorders, and you're telling me that there's nothing showing there that all these just come down kind of like mist and they didn't hit the ground?
I'm not sure exactly what you're saying. Obviously, they hit the ground, but they hit the ground one floor at a time, and I'm sure the seismic signal, if looked at more carefully by each of us, would discover that there was some seismic signal and that that would be consistent with existing controlled demolitions, and I'm asking you to research that because
I looked at Dr. Judy Wood's book of the C-Dome, and that's not true what you said. And then
hold on, you're talking about the C-Dome. Let's talk about the C-Dome. What's true about the C-Dome is that the whole roof of that building fell approximately, I don't know, what is 60 to 80 feet high or something or more, and it fell all at once. That is a thud. That's not a multi-story building being destroyed one floor at a time and creating a much more spread out seismic signal, which is probably consistent with what the actual recordings show, as distinguished from what you say.
Okay, you're making a lot of presumptions. Have you ever looked at the seismic recordings? Let's get back to that first. Have you ever looked at the?
No, I haven't. I just told you. I think that needs to be looked at.
Well, I'm a little.
I don't know how to read seismic recordings.
I was reading in the page on your home page right now. You're basically, you said here, and this has got your name on it on your home page right now, that you have looked at all of the evidence. That's what it says here. It's got your name on it. That's on the very first page. So now you're telling me,
wouldn't
you look at the empirical evidence, first of all, if it's a controlled demolition, regardless of what type of whatever happened, that 230,000 tons. I don't know what the time limit is for Building 7. It's a second or two at tops, and you're telling me that there's not going to be any thud, and you haven't even looked at the seismic recordings? There's five of them, by the way, and Dr. Judy was...
I'm suggesting to you that we both need to look at the seismic recordings. I don't know how to read them myself, but I'm sure there's people that I would trust to look at them, but it's not necessary to look at the seismic recordings to see very clearly, as 90% of the people do when we show them this evidence, that that building looks exactly like a controlled demolition. It kinks in the middle. The penthouse falls a fraction of a second prior before the whole thing, indicating that those 24 core columns are being removed all at once and have to be removed on a given floor, sequentially timed, precisely in order for that core structure to fall symmetrically. Fire and other types of non-precise technologies, such as DEW would be, could not account for that precision, nor would they account for the several tons of molten metal seen at the bottom.
Okay,
let's
stop right there. I'm looking at real evidence. I'm looking at seismic recording that is the empirical evidence. I can look at a magician pull a rabbit out of the hat, and it damn sure looks like a rabbit coming out of the hat, but I go check the hats for empirical evidence. Now, if you are going to have evidence, appearance is very elusive. You have to have the evidence to back it up.
And yeah, there's plenty of evidence. The first responders describe it flowing like lava.
Let's just take that one right there.
Excuse me.
You said it's flowing like lava. You know, everything that's hot, but
well,
may look like
to
it.
You're going to have to let me finish a sentence if you want to continue this interview. Now, do you want to continue, or do you want to
we got to have just a state your position and not just give me a lot of, if I have a question.
I'm giving your audience the evidence that you have not been willing to give them. So
let's give them another side of your story. Seismic evidence, and you said you hadn't looked at it.
I've given you what I know about the seismic evidence, which is next to nothing. Okay,
but that's not evidence. I'm giving something from somebody that's extremely highly qualified, that on every controlled demolition, at least the ones that Dr. Judy Wood has looked at, when matter comes down as we know it in a controlled demolition, it hits the ground thud, and there's no way you can explain away that five seismic locations didn't record anything.
I'll bet you anything that you'll find the same seismic recording from the landmark building that was explosively demolished as you'll find in World Trade Center 7. You haven't been willing to acknowledge that. I will try to research that, but I myself don't know how to read those reports, and I understand that even people within the 9/11 truth movement, as broad as it is, disagree vehemently about the interpretations of those seismic reports. In fact, there is a report on the Journal of 9/11studies.com, a peer-reviewed paper entitled Seismic Proof That 9/11 Was an Inside Job. And it shows a seismic signal consistent with explosives. You can look at that. I don't have the patience to review that kind of thing because I'm not the kind of scientist who can understand it.
Well,
what I look at,
the problem that I have here is you're an architect, right?
Uh-huh.
You're not a scientist, and you're making all sorts of suppositions with no evidence. Now, one is this peer review.
Hold on. That's not fair at all. I've just given you a whole wad of evidence, and you're saying I've got no evidence. The evidence that I've given you so far is very solid and convinces 90% of the people I talk to, and I'm talking about trained architects and engineers. So your blanket statements are proof of your bias and your unwillingness to even look or examine or consider.
I am looking at the evidence, and that's what I'm trying to get to this. But by the way, in Dr. Judy Wood's book, have you ever read her book yet?
I have the book, and I've looked at this section on thermite and nanothermite, and she denies the evidence for nanothermite. She says it's non-existent, it's something else, but without even looking at it specifically, and she's a material scientist or engineer, so she should know, but she doesn't even acknowledge that these are nanoparticles of intimately mixed iron oxide and aluminum powders that are set in an organic bed of silicon, oxygen, and carbon unignited thermite, that when they are ignited in a differential scanning calorimeter at 420 degrees centigrade, they explode. These are energetic materials, and when they explode, what do they produce? Thousands of tiny iron microspheres, molten iron microspheres, and what do they, what's the chemical characteristic of that? It's the exact same characteristic chemical signature of those iron microspheres which were previously molten.
Let me just finish the sentence, please.
Ralph, you're going to have to let me finish the sentence. I'm sorry. Those iron microspheres found by the USGS in all the World Trade Center samples, which they have no explanation for, are the exact same. Now, with Judy Woods is not going to acknowledge any of that evidence and just hand wave it away, then she's not practicing science. She's practicing witchcraft. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? The problem that I'm running into here, I have an architect that has no training in this at all, making all
and
kinds of allegations without the evidence. Now, let's be quiet here.
So how can you say
finished.
Without
your
the
microspheres,
evidence?
Those microspheres, let me finish. I'm talking here,
Ralph,
sir.
Ralph,
those microspheres were found in crop circles in England, and there was no fire of the exact type of
I haven't seen the evidence for that, so I can't confirm.
Well,
it tonight.
I have.
I'll
tell you now. Let's just take some other things. You've made an allegation of a peer-reviewed paper by, I guess that was done by Bentham Science Publishers. Is that correct?
Yes. The Bentham Chemical Open Physics Journal.
Okay, we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org. or call 908-691-2608 today.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Okay, well, we're back for break here, and I've got some questions. I'd like to try to keep the answers short and concise so we can get to a few of these. First of all, your peer-reviewed paper. I checked into Bentham Science Publishers, and there was a people that published a CRAP paper, and it was a total nonsense, and they totally discredited that peer review. All you had to do was pay an $800 fee to the United Arab Emirates. So I wouldn't see how anybody could put any substance in that. But let's go to the
cars. I don't think that's true, first of all. Second of all, if it is true, then somebody could pay $800 and challenge the peer-reviewed paper, the 25-page peer-reviewed paper regarding these nanothermite chips, and actually challenge the science of what
I'm not done with this sentence yet.
I'm not done. I'm not going to go on and on, but I do expect not to be interrupted. Somebody could challenge the peer-reviewed paper with science, and that has not been done in a year and a half, and Dr. Judy Woods does not even discuss the chemical nature of these chips in any kind of a scientific way. She simply waves it off and criticizes the publisher. Well, what about the science? Why can't she, if the science is not valid, why doesn't she address that?
Well, okay, let's just go on here because we got a lot of questions here and we're not getting anywhere. We're just staying on the thermite thing. I want to go, and you said on your homepage that you addressed all the issues, all the evidence. We got all these toasted cars, about 1,400 of them, up to a half a mile away. How does thermite get out there and go into part of a car and supposedly make it all rusty and put holes in it and the iron? And how does thermite do that up to a half a mile away?
I don't claim that thermite can explain all of the phenomena at ground zero. Okay, first of all. Second of all, the tops of those cars that appear to be toasted could be explained by falling liquid molten iron, which the USGS found in all of the World Trade Center dust.
Let's
previously
right
molten. So the tops of those cars could be explained by this. I don't know what explains the explosions and flames in fag cars. I really don't.
Okay, you don't have any even theory on what could happen and make iron go away inside the cars and make it go a half mile away. So there's one thing that that you said on your paper that you've explored all this. So evidently,
excuse me, I didn't say thermite explains everything. Don't put words in my mouth.
Well, what it did is it said here that you'd look into all of the evidence and that Dr. Judy Wood didn't. So
the
evidence,
she clearly
the thermite
didn't.
Has to be, if you're going to look into one part of this, you have to look into everything that happened at 911. And there's 1,400 cars out there.
I did look into it, but
evidence.
I don't have
and
an explanation.
Can't address it.
I did look into it. I don't have an explanation. The interesting thing is that to come up with a theory or a hypothesis of thermite, if 90% of the evidence supports the hypothesis of thermite, then you've got a really good theory going forth. The truth is that none of the evidence, in my mind, supports the hypothesis of directed energy weapons, including what happened to those cars.
Okay, well, let's take Don Hutchison. He got around, and after Dr. Judy Wood had examined all of these different things, the toasted cars, 800,000 tons went poof. Justified.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay, wait just a minute here. And she went, and John Hutchison has been able to demonstrate those phenomena these different phenomena of things turning to dust, of steel beams and columns twisting around that is impossible with thermite, because the thermite is basically all it is for welding. All of these things were in her book documented, and John Hutchison has, she found the phenomena. Now, thermite can't do any of these.
Well, hold on. Let's take them one at a time. First of all, there's no evidence of dustification at the World Trade Center. The only,
wait a minute.
But I'm going to take it on. I'm going to explain this. The only phenomena that Dr. Woods describes in her book is the what she calls missing steel, and B, the behavior of the spire. We're going to take those two at a time, okay, without rushing through it. First of all, missing steel. The steel was sent laterally, as evidenced by all of the videos, in a 1,200 to 1,400-foot diameter around each tower symmetrically, and these were shot out 70 to 80 miles an hour instant speed laterally out of the towers, landing up to 600 feet away. This steel is distributed around. There's no evidence for missing steel. Okay, that's A. And B, dustification, she cites only the evidence of the spire, which survived the initial collapse of the towers, and then this concrete was pulverized. That's where the dust is. And it lands on the horizontal edges of the beams partially cut, still attached to this spire 1,000 feet in the air. There appears to be an explosion which shakes the dust off the spire. Then the spire falls vertically down. It doesn't go poof. You can see the top of the spire, and it's evidenced in the paper in frame 3 that I provided you that you're referring to. And then it just continues to go down.
Okay, I've got to stop you right there, because every statement you have made so far is not true, because there is 800,000. When Sam Donaldson was there, and he had the TV guy, he looked down, and he says, where's the rubble? There's no rubble down there on the bottom. There's a little teeny pile. And this fire
is the one that's distributed laterally.
It's all around all these places. So when Building 7 went down, it didn't even go across and touch the post office across the street.
No, they're two completely different types of controlled demolition, as evidenced in the video. Implosion, a classic controlled demolition. The towers were very explosive. Use your eyes, follow these individual flying objects that are obviously pushed by a pressure wave that has the energy of a 200-pound cannonball being shot 3 miles.
You know, excuse me, but the stuff you're is not based on evidence at all. You're not a physicist. You're not a structural engineer.
This is all documented by physicists, Ralph. Look at our website. Take the time to look at.
I have looked. Okay, let's just take the one that you said your molten metal. I looked there, the molten metal, there are pictures of something glowing, and it is not even in a puddle, and you have on your homepage that supposedly a thing was taken up in the air looking down. Now, I don't know what caused that, but
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Hold on, just a minute. Let me finish my thought here.
Go ahead.
And she went down to the... where supposedly you're saying all this molten metal, because first of all, there is no molten metal. There's no pools or puddles of tons and tons of molten metal ever been found. I've not seen one picture. But she went ahead and documented that those pictures supposedly taken from the air down below, there was a water main down in the bathtub, that there was a fireman walking with boots on down there. So obviously it couldn't have been molten metal, because the firemen were there walking in water.
Now, hold on. Now,
Is your molten metal? I looked on your homepage. I don't see no pictures of it. Where is it?
There's dozens and dozens of first responders, structural engineers, and cleanup workers, including the president of the cleanup company himself, that he saw pools of literally molten metal. Mark Loiseau, who wrote a letter saying there are photos of molten metal. We have a photo of a crab claw bucket picking up molten metal. We have Leslie Robertson, the structural engineer who designed the World Trade Center, on side of the South Tower 10 minutes prior to its collapse from the point of jet plane impact.
Where's the molten metal on the ground? It had to come. Now, don't tell me that it vaporized and pulverized. It's molten metal. When it gets to the ground, Mother Earth, there's going to be pools, puddles, tons and tons of molten metal that's going to cool just like in a lava-type situation.
Yeah.
It's, none of it was found. So how do you explain
that? That's not true. What, how can you just say that? We have photos of huge multi-ton chunks of fused molten metal described by the architect Bart Vorsanger in the video Relics in the Rubble. He's looking at it. It's obviously molten metal. It's rusting. And he's describing it as molten steel, fused molten steel. And you're saying there's none of it. You're just making stuff up, Ralph. I don't know what planet
you're on. No, it's not on your home page. I haven't seen any pictures of it yet.
It's throughout our DVD. It's on. You can step through the DVD in our PowerPoint online. You can watch the DVD online. If you take the time to actually watch our two-hour DVD, you'll learn an awful lot about the evidence that you say we have none of because you refuse to look at it.
Well, no, I'm looking at these pictures you got on your home page, and I'm looking at aluminum, I'm looking at iron, and it's supposedly glowing, but it's still got its structural components. And the last time I checked, anything that is molten is liquefied, and it's level with Mother Earth, and it doesn't exist.
I'm not sure what photo you're referring to. So
I went to your home page where you have molten metal. I looked at your stuff, and there's nothing there.
Well, did you look at our DVD even once?
I don't want to look at your DVD. Let me ask you this.
If you don't look at the evidence, you're not going to be aware of the evidence, and you're going to make stupid statements like, you guys don't have any evidence.
Are you saying Dr. Judy Wood's book does not have any evidence? Is that a yes or a no?
I didn't make that statement. The statement I made is that she denies the evidence in her book of molten metal, which we provide plenty of.
Let's just step around molten metal thermite. Have you examined all of the other? She is extremely highly qualified, which you are not, as a structural physicist, interferometry, to do a complete. She's got the only one out there. She's put her name on the dotted line, filed a case on it, a QI-TAM case, a whistleblower, which I can't believe that you admit you don't know, but let's say you don't.
There are dozens of nuts out there with PhDs, Ralph. Let's not make
wait a minute, whoa. Are you calling Dr. Judy Wood a nut?
I said there are dozens of nuts out there
that
have PhDs.
That's not appropriate to our conversation. Our conversation have you read her book, and are you willing to debunk it, all of these different phenomena? Have you done that, or are you going to do that?
You're making an argument from authority, so I'm saying that's not a valid argument. That was the point I was making. I was not calling her a nut, although I think her hypothesis is dead wrong, unsupported is what I mean by the evidence that she cites.
You know, give me, without a whole bunch of hype, just give me...
You're the one with the hype here, Ralph.
No, give me... Okay, well, I've got... She's got seismic things. That's evidence. That's conclusive evidence.
We discussed that already.
The seismic recorders is not evidence?
We discussed that already. We don't have to
go... Okay, well, then I can tell you right now that your thermitic stuff is not evidence because it's found in crop circles. So
how would you know? You haven't even looked at our evidence, so you don't even know whether it's evidence or not. You refuse to look at our DVD. We have nothing to talk about until you actually look at
the DVD. We're on the show. I don't want to look at DVDs. I've listened to your presentations, and I don't see any empirical evidence, like the seismic recorders. I don't see the pictures of the molten metal.
Every architect and engineer and others, almost without exception, who looks at it ends up agreeing with us. So I don't know what happened to you.
You've already admitted you don't know about these things.
These are trained professionals. We have dozens and dozens and dozens, hundreds of scientists, metallurgists, chemists, chemical engineers, physicists signed on to our petition, along with the 1,500 architects and engineers. So we have plenty of quality people, scientists.
Well, let me ask you this. If you're calling for a new investigation and you're saying Dr. Judy Wood is not a nut, She's highly qualified for all this. Then why won't you examine all of her evidence? She goes into the toasted cars.
I've examined. Go ahead.
She's given the phenomena for these things. It's highly documented, and yet you say you don't even want to look at it.
No, I didn't say that. I said I did look at it.
Okay, so is it true or not true then?
Her hypothesis is unsupported by the evidence she cites. The evidence that she cites is, in many cases, the wrong interpretation.
Give me some examples of her book that's unsupported evidence, and forget the thermite right now.
Dustification is not supported.
Term that she put in for to a phenomena that is new, and you're telling me that all of that, quote, dust that we've seen and was all over New York didn't happen? 800,000 tons of it?
I didn't say that. There's blanketed lower Manhattan in a 4-inch blanket, and 30% of it is pulverized concrete powder. None of it is dustified steel, but there is previously molten iron droplets the diameter of a human hair, which have the evidence, chemical evidence in them, of thermite as documented by...
So you're telling me none of the steel was dustified? All of the steel...
There's no evidence for dust turning to steel whatsoever.
You've got to be kidding me.
Absolutely not. The steel is accounted for in a 1,400-foot diameter around each of the towers, and she cites that it's seen flying out of the Twin Towers and disappearing, and yet she provides no video evidence.
Okay, so if all the steel went out 1,400 feet, if all this steel went out 1,400 feet, how come none of those buildings are out there? I don't understand. I don't see any pictures of steel columns and beams out 1,400 feet away.
There's plenty of evidence. They're sticking in buildings up to 600 feet away from the Twin Towers. What are you talking about?
And all these beams and iron is all out there. It's all went out there.
Yes.
You're kidding me.
It's clear. Look at the photos from Ground Zero. There's a 1,200-foot diameter of incredible quantities of steel, by the way, none of which is partially dustified. If there was dustification going on, you'd expect to see partial beams out there with columns. But the columns have very straight edges indicating that the welds were broken, not somehow dustified.
I've not seen any pictures where the welds were broken. Let's get back to all of those
columns were turned around like pretzels. Let's talk about the pretzels next. But first of all, these columns are 37.5 feet long. Many of them are pretzelized, which we're going to talk to. Others are straight, and they're broken at those lengths. In other words, they're broken at the weld. They're not partially, somehow, completely disfigured at their end. So
there's
now,
all kinds
how do
of
they
pictures
get into
of them being turned around in pretzels and potholes in them, rust, something has happened to them. They look like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
And
didn't
happen?
Hold on. There's a few examples of Swiss cheese steel. That's well documented by FEMA, and particularly in the piece, one piece by the World Trade Center, one piece by in World Trade Center 7, one in the towers. They document that this is a high temperature sulfur corrosion attack with molten iron invading the grain boundaries of the steel. This is FEMA Appendix C from the BPAT report. Now, first of all, we're talking about molten iron. That has temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees, which Dr. Woods completely denies, but which FEMA corroborates, along with USGS, finding molten iron droplets in all of the dust. But she denies that, too, for some reason, because it doesn't fit with her theory, which she says is provided the DEW
I keep hearing the same things of there was iron steel in the building. There was aluminum cladding, and you're going to have the makeup of things that could be thermite, thermitic, nanothermite, and the evidence, you have no phenomena, you have no evidence at all support anything that thermite, nanothermite, super nanothermite, whatever, is an explosive, ever. It's
Hold on. You're jumping all over the map.
No, I'm not.
We're going to talk about the Swiss cheese steel. Let's stay with that, because Dr. Woods denies that there are temperatures hot enough to melt steel, but official sources, USGS and FEMA, talk about molten iron invading the grain temperatures, grain boundaries of the steel in the piece that they do have that wasn't destroyed. This molten iron takes 2,800 degrees to even begin to melt. This is documentation by FEMA, which you keep wanting to gloss over, as does she, but these temperatures are twice that which office fires or jet fuel can even produce. Now, this cannot just be hand-waved away by you or by Dr. Woods. It's in all the World Trade Center dust. It's in the piece of steel that they documented, which also has high sulfur corrosion attack. Where did the sulfur come from? There's no theory that Dr. Woods provides, but the theory of thermate, which is added sulfur to thermite, which melts steel even more efficiently, that does provide an adequate explanation which supports the hypothesis.
Let me ask you this. Why are you attacking the research of Dr. Judy Woods' book?
Excuse me?
Why are you attacking all of the empirical evidence that she has? Because she doesn't know. Find something in the dust, there could have been chocolate chips in the building, and you found chocolate chips, and there's not you have no evidence at all. Not zero.
You keep saying that, Ralph, and I keep providing you evidence, and you keep dismissing it.
No, because you can't provide any phenomena of nanothermite doing anything. She provided the directed energy weapons,
Ralph,
and the companies that Science Applied Applications International Corp. and Applied Research Associates are involved in directed energy weapons. It exists. Whether you want to agree with it or not, it exists.
I didn't say it didn't exist, and I didn't attack Dr. Woods. I merely responded to a frequently asked question, which people who are interested are asking. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Yeah, the only thing I keep hearing is there is a spheres of thermitic material in the dust. That's it. There's no evidence of anything else. You throw out the seismic,
Ralph, listen. I just gave you evidence from official sources, USGS and R.J. Lee and FEMA, who document temperatures exceeding the melting point of iron that they say happened during the attack, not some other time. And you're, dismissing it. The next thing out of your mouth...
We haven't got much time. How did they get all this nanothermite, thermite in the buildings and get it all to detonate all at one time? How did they do that? Not only that, there were seven buildings, not just three.
How did they do that? You interrupted me, so I didn't hear your question.
How did they get all this nanothermite in the buildings and get it to do all this magical things in seven buildings? Not just three, seven buildings.
Well, first of all, they're very different cases. In the case of Building 7, we have what appears to be a typical controlled demolition, but without the high-energy explosives normally associated with typical controlled demolitions. Those high-energy explosives would have provided a very loud bang and a bright flash. Thermite, for which we have patented devices that do use thermite, and providing the cutting through steel in just milliseconds with these cutter charges are much more efficient, actually, than the high-energy explosives. So those can be computer-controlled, just like they are in normal controlled demolitions, and that is the answer to your question about Building 7. You want to talk about the towers next?
You have given me I've looked at your homepage. I've looked at all the evidence. There's no evidence that you can support anything that you've been saying yet about cutter charges, nanoseconds, and all that stuff, and how it would be set off.
It's all there. The patented devices are in our DVD, and I think your listeners can see and hear right through your BS, Ralph.
Well, I tell you what, it's all in the DVD, yeah? It's all in the DVD.
Why don't you watch it?
I would suggest save your money Go to wheredidthetowersgo.com and buy Dr. Judy Wood's book and see real empirical evidence. Your hinges on the elements, and you hinges on the little sphere things that have been documented and proven to be in crop circles. And those crops, there was no heat
in there. I don't know why the hell we're talking about crop circles, Ralph.
Well, because those same sphere things is evidence that you talk about. The same exact thing is found in the soil over there, is found in what you claim in the dust at the Twin Towers.
It's evidence, but it's evidence of temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees. That's the point that your listeners are going to be able to understand, whereas Dr. Woods denies any such temperatures. And this evidence.
I tell you what, I wonder how all that paper survived that, and all those cars that the firemen and all them said they just broke out. The metal is appearing to burn, but, you know, everything that's hot is not. It can look like it's hot, but it's not. Like a fluorescent bulb. It's not. Well, anyway, I thank you for coming on. It's been interesting, to say the least.
It sure has.
And maybe someday we'll meet again. And as I always say, watch out for the federales. Cool.